Welcome back to At Home, the podcast. We're glad that you're joining us again here in Wakarusa, Indiana, is where we're recording today. And we are glad that you are joining us, sitting around the table as usual. Brant Nine, Dustin Eby, Angie Brenneman. And today we're going to talk about the topic of surrender here in just a little bit. But Angie, why don't you kick us off this afternoon as we start this podcast with a conversation around signs?
Yes. How are you, listener? We're glad you're here. So I kind of was sitting this morning knowing we were going to record this podcast thinking, what does surrender mean to a lot of people? Well, a lot of time when we hear that word, we think of a sign. What would that be, Brant Nine? A sign that you would wave in the air when you're surrendering?
That's right. A sign, a signal. I don't know where you want me to go here, Angie.
A white flag.
Yes,
we often think of a white flag.
You've never waved a white flag because you've never surrendered, have you?
Listen, I will go down before I surrender. I will be, I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah. That's okay. So here's the deal, is that we all have signs that we carry. And so I am going to admit I have a weakness for signs, because as I was sitting in my house thinking about the podcast today, I looked around. And there are multiple signs that represent thoughts, maybe, you know, mantras.
So you're speaking of physical signs that are hanging on a wall.
Yeah, because like a white flag is a physical sign of surrender. So let's talk a little bit about what your sign is.
All right. I'm really curious. I don't know what kind of signs you have in your house, but one of the signs that I see in like farmhouses, your farming family, I picture you have a sign somewhere in your house that says eggs. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I have eggs and I have a chicken
produce.
And I have farm fresh. Farm fresh. Yeah. Yeah. I literally, yes, when I thought, I was like, oh my word, our whole house is decorated in signs and representation of what we do, you know?
Yeah.
That's so funny. We have a sign. We put together this shelf cabinet thing, and we've had this sign for a long time, but it was never out until the shelf cabinet thing was completed. But it just simply says blessed. So I gave Sharice a hard time saying, so before, when we didn't have this completed, we weren't blessed. But now that the cabinet's all done and it looks good, we've got the blessed sign.
Hey, you got to tell us this cabinet story, though. How big is this cabinet?
It's large, I will say. It takes up a good portion of our wall in our dining room / kitchen. So, yeah. It's a big one.
And
so
you assembled really it yourself.
I almost. Sharice helped a little bit, but yeah. I did most of it. Yeah, I was pretty proud of myself. Took about 7 hours, so
in one hit, you just did 7 hours straight on.
Well,
which is probably a record if you turned it into the company.
I think so.
I bet the instructions said, you know, can be completed in an hour.
The instructions had its own opinion, but I referred.
They were wrong.
They were very wrong.
They're always overzealous.
So you can take that blessed sign and say, Sharice, you are blessed.
Sharice is very blessed, yes, because that is done, and I am done making those cabinets no more. I'm done.
Yes.
Yeah, we have signs at our house. I was trying to think, like, we have nothing, like, hanging on the wall inside of our house except for, like, pictures. But in my garage, I have a ton of street signs from when my dad worked at the street department for 30 years, and apparently he wasn't supposed to take these home, but when, you know, he passed away, his garage was full of them, and they were sweet, so I have street signs, Napanee Police street signs. I have Westside Park, Welcome to Napanee, the girls' 1999 state championship sign. Got that one.
So you need a man cave to hang them all.
They've been looking for that.
Yeah. Is this a confession?
In my office.
Now we're in trouble.
I have the State Road 6 and 19 signs on the wall. So
nice.
Those are my signs.
So we have a couple signs. To be very clear, I'm trying to think of what some of them even say. I walk past them all the time, but you get so used to them, you don't really think about them. I have a sign in my office that says together, and it's really smushed together just as a reminder that we should do things together, not solo. But we have a big sign out on our back patio where we like to hang out in the summer. So I can't wait for the weather to turn before we turn our back patio into a hangout. And it simply says gather. Now, Shauna painted that sign and made it and everything along those lines. I can remember my dad was in our house looking out at it one time. He goes, why you have Gaither out there?
And your dad would totally say that.
Go look at it again. I don't see an eye. So gather. Oh, yeah, look at that.
Well, I think it's interesting because how you said that even, that you have multiple signs in your house.
Yeah.
But they become such a part of like your life that you kind of walk past them. And I'm going to just tie it into our discussion today because I think that's true for all of us that when we think of surrender, it's kind of, oh, I surrender this or, you know, I'll do this or I walk past something. I'm going to, you know, give up this for that. You know, we kind of do an exchange. And so it almost becomes so natural that we really don't think about what this word surrender means for a Christ follower.
Yeah, absolutely. So on Sunday, I was talking about this topic of surrender and we're looking back at the people of Israel when they are coming out of slavery. And in reality, what they kept doing with the Lord was they kept taking back the control and putting it into their hands and things would fail. But then the Lord would have control of their life and things like parting of the Red Sea, pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, those types of things where God was leading them was very evident in their life. But they kept taking things back. And I equated that to our life. And I think we're pretty good at letting God at times have control and then we're pretty good at taking it back. So surrender is a hard topic for us.
Mm-hmm. So today, as we go into this, I think we can go back and we can look at the story of the Israelites. It's a testimony to human failure.
Totally.
That we are...
and grace.
Right. Yeah. But I say that because I think that with this topic of surrender is actually something tied to us. Like we know Christ surrendered his life for us on the cross, but he's asking us to do the same. And what does that look like? And so I think the Israelites give us a really good picture of multiple Jesus moments, like God encounters. And then what do? They forget about it.
Yeah.
They go on their way and they do it their own way, or they go back into sin or other, you know, desires, and they fail to remember what God's called them to do. Mm-hmm. And I think we do that so easily. And that's why I say we just kind of walk by this idea of surrender every day in our life and don't really sit on it. So today we're going to sit on it. Are you guys ready for that?
We're ready.
Yeah. I think like you're saying, we have aha moments where we're like, Lord, I give you all this.
Yep.
And then quickly within 24 hours, walk away and back into our routine of life. And we forget all about the surrender.
Yeah.
It's a good point, AJ.
And I do. I think that leads us to what surrender is. So when you were preaching on Sunday, and I kind of thought, you know, Brant would like this because he loves words and he loves how they place because he went to school for literacy. For a master's of literacy, and I give him a hard time about that, but it's really I'm very impressed by that. So I was like, "Will you proof my papers?" We do this all the time at our house because when your kids get older, guess who's going to be the proofer in your house?
I don't know.
So when I think of words and I think of the word surrender, I sat there and I was like, "What's the definition if somebody wasn't a Christ follower? What would they look at us and say what surrender means?" And I thought it was really interesting that surrender is both a verb and a noun. Mm-hmm. And so, Brant, give us a little lesson on the difference between those two things.
Well, a verb is an action word, right? And a noun is a person, place, or thing, or an idea. So Chris and Dustin were...
just out of curiosity, did you just pull that out? Or did you know that? Or did you have to write that down? Did you remember
all
that?
Stop.
That's so cool.
Anybody who's 10 years old or older knows that, Chris, off the top of their mind. And if you've forgotten, then here's your sign, okay? But the idea that there's a verb and a noun, that I think it's interesting, Angie. Like you printed out a definition here, and the noun starts off like this. A noun of surrender is the action of surrendering, mm-hmm. which leads to another grammatical point of what is an oxymoron? Because that's pretty oxymoronic. Now, Dustin's looking, he's never heard that word before, and he thinks I just used the word moron on our podcast. But the action of surrendering is a noun. It's interesting that it starts with the word an action. So.
Right. And then a verb is actually a ceasing. So in the way that Google defines it, it's actually a stopping of something, a cease of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually, it's almost a play on words, which mm-hmm. I kind of sat there and I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We have to think on both of those things.
Right. Like surrender as a noun is submitting, right? Mm-hmm. It's a submission or giving into. So that's, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
I'm so glad we have you guys on the podcast. Dustin and I just know how to tell people about Jesus. We don't know all the grammatical side of things. We just,
yeah, these things you guys talk about, like nouns and verbs.
Interesting.
Hey, let me ask you a question really off the cuff here, Dustin and Chris. Explain to our listeners, what's an adjective?
Yeah, you know, he said Dustin first, so go for it.
It's a description word.
Of what?
Of a noun.
It is. Yes! Good job, Dustin.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us today. This is the end of our podcast. It's been great to have you.
All right, Angie, get us back on track.
Well, that's okay. I think sometimes we have to remember that a definition of a word is sometimes has to be considered in how we put this into action in our own lives.
Yeah.
And so I always go to that. I'm like, I kind of think about, well, what does this mean for me? Like, how does surrender actually impact me? And so if I would read that, I would say, okay, a verb means that I'm actually stopping something. So the definition is a ceasing resistance. So that means I'm giving up, or I'm just stopping. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually a resistance to my sinful nature. It's a resistance to my desires, my selfish motives. I mean, that's the things I would see that in that ceasing. Where then in the noun is the action of surrendering, which is actually a submission mm-hmm. and a yielding to say that I'm being led by something other than myself. And so I just think that that helps me understand what my action needs to be coming out is when I really think, am I surrendering this to God? My heart, of course, my desires, but what about like what I want to do today? Mm-hmm. Like when I wake up, and as I say always, I like to drink my coffee and I like to take time to just kind of wake up. And sometimes I have to surrender that time, that yielding to the Holy Spirit in my life at that time. That's the only, you know.
So what I'm hearing example. You say, this is what I'm hearing. In some ways, there's a macro and there's a micro. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we think about surrender. Well, I did the big things, like I accepted Christ as my yes. Savior. But I'm going to live my day-to-day life, my micro, every step of the way I want to do it.
So can I want to ask a question real quick, if that's okay. Going back to when this was brought up initially, the whole idea of like, how do you explain the idea of surrender to somebody who doesn't maybe mm-hmm. not necessarily know what that means? Or even as like, when it comes to following Jesus, why is it then? Because I think when a lot of people hear the word surrender, or they get the image of the white flag of giving yes. up, yep. or it almost comes across as like being weak. So how would you guys say, like, why is surrendering so important as a follower of Jesus? Why does it matter so much that we surrender?
I think that's like one of the main questions. Why does it look weak? Well, yeah, I think at the same time, it's the most strongest, most difficult thing to do, because you're giving up your own desires, your own thoughts, your own process of what you want to do to a greater being, to God. So in surrender, okay, so like, for example, even in, like, let's think, when we think of the white flag in war, it's a lot harder for somebody to stop fighting than it is to keep fighting, I think, when they want to win something. I mean, like you said, Brant, you go down for the fight, you keep fighting, you never stop. Mm-hmm. So I think surrender is actually the harder thing to do. And I just say that because I know we see, like it's the easy button, I'm going to get out of it. Actually, I think it's because you have to do something totally out of your nature when you surrender.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's so many areas in my life where I feel like surrender is present. And here's an example. Francie and I were having a disagreement the other night, and we're having an aggressive conversation. And if you were somebody who attends our church and you went to our marriage retreat, we had Dan Seaborn there, and he talked about putting Jesus in the room, physically putting a chair there and acknowledging that he's in the room. And Francie gets up in the middle of our conversation. She walks over and grabs a chair, and she puts it right in the middle of us. And she goes, "All right, now we can continue." And I think at that moment I realized, okay, there has to be some compromise here. There has to be some surrender on my part. And it's not about necessarily getting my point across, as it is just about us coming to a conclusion and having peace in our life. And so, you know, there's an area in marriage where I have to surrender. Obviously, there's so many areas with Christ where I'm constantly fighting back against his will, maybe is a way to put it. And when I come to that point of surrender, I almost feel like God is telling me, okay, you were going to get here regardless. You took the long way. Mm-hmm. If you would have just surrendered, this would have been done a lot easier and a lot quicker. But my will is going to be done regardless. So.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really good. I do think this last Saturday, I was going to add to that, is that I went to a conference with some of the gals here from church, and I sat under a teacher, and she said, it takes us forever to get to the point where we say, I can't, but God can. And I think that's the part where we struggle so much. And why I think that chair represents so much is that we realize that we really can't in that moment, mm-hmm. that God's the only one that can. And I think so often we just don't want to surrender because we think we're going to figure out another road or another way of doing it. And half the surrender is just admitting to ourselves mm-hmm. that I can. I can't, but God can.
Right.
I think the time where that became the most real for me was when we had our first child, Nora, when she was born, and I was holding her for the first time. We, you know, went through the classes and read some books and watched some stuff and talked to a bunch of people, but there's still like nothing that prepared me for that moment. I'm, you know, like holding my daughter for the first time and just thinking, I have no idea what I'm doing, literally no idea. Like, I am terrified that I am going to mess this up. And that was a time where I realized that I have to surrender this idea of what it means to be a dad, to be a parent, because unless God is with me in this fully, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this, you know, the way that he wants me to. So just being, and I know that, you know, as she's grown up, there's going to be things that she does that brings us so much joy, but then things that disappoint us and discourage us as parents, and we're not going to be able to control everything that any of our kids do. But this idea of being willing to just, one of the things that I cherish and love more than anything in the world, to completely surrender that. And it's this idea of like trust and control. I think a lot of times we don't trust what we can't control. And so for me, those areas in my life where I don't have control, those are hard. It's like what you were just talking about. It's really hard to trust, you know, but that's where I have to do like a self-evaluation, almost like a heart check, and say, so am I saying that I trust myself more than I trust God? And those are really hard. Those are really hard moments for me spiritually to kind of work through.
Mm-hmm. So in our booklet, one of the first scriptures that are listed on this week after this whole idea and the talk on surrender is that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which I think that goes right with what you're saying, Dustin, is that when we say it, we said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. That is the perfect picture of surrender, I think, because we have to actually get... When I think of getting into a car as the passenger at that point and allowing him to direct our path. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we think it's a detour and it's actually the path we're on. When I say a detour, the hard thing in our life that we thought is just a detour is actually the path God calls us to. And that's a trust factor. That's a trusting him to direct us wherever he takes us.
Yeah, I think that's a really good verse, and that's a great analogy. The word trust and then lean not.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, because that's surrender. Yeah. That's powerful. That's a really good word. You know, in on Sunday, I was referring to this topic of surrender, and it feels very un-American. I think culturally, we just press back against surrender because we see people talk about being a self-made man or a self-made woman, or look at all that I have done. I have climbed this rung of the ladder. I have done this. And I would think in a lot of ways, team sports, right? Don't surrender. Keep pressing till the very end. Don't give up. Don't give up until
it's
the
March
final
Madness.
Buzzer. Oh, come on.
Come on.
Come on. Don't give up until the final buzzer. And yet, when it comes to our spiritual life, surrender is where we actually find freedom.
Yes, 100%.
That's where we find victory. And it's so, it's oxymoronic. You used the word earlier.
Yeah.
It's oxymoronic.
Takes us to a different place than we expected. And I think when we say freedom, we can't even wrap our minds around what that freedom looks like, because we are so designed as physical beings to feel, to touch, to hear, to see, to taste. God created us that way. But I think when we try to define something, we want to know what we're getting. Like, we want to know what we're getting into. We want to know what we're surrendering. And actually, God says, no, let go of all things and like you say, lean into me, you know, lean not on my own understanding, but lean into him. And that's not an easy thing because wait, I had this experience. This led me this direction. I can go this way, right? Or we always say experience is a good teacher. Not necessarily always in God's way, in God's plan. And so I think on Sunday you brought up two critical areas that we need to surrender. And I think we mentioned it, but I think it's a critical point is that there is an important act of surrender at salvation in that moment. And then there's a second one, and we can get into that. But I think we kind of glazed over this on Sunday, and we can talk a little bit about these two acts of surrender.
Yeah, absolutely. First and foremost, surrender salvation. This is surrendering the old self and claiming the new self found in Christ. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of all humanity, should we choose to accept it. And so we took communion. We talked about all of that as Jesus was in the upper room, and he took the bread and the cup, and he really modeled what sacrifice was all about on his behalf. This is my body that's broken for you. This is the cup that represents the blood, the shed blood of me on a cross. So do this in remembrance of me. And I go back to that Old Testament sacrificial system. Everybody had to bring something. And so when Jesus did that for us on the cross, all he says is, follow me. Commit your life to following me. Accept this free gift of salvation. That's the first surrender that we have to make because of the price that Jesus paid for us.
Why is that first surrender so hard for so many people?
It's the giving up of self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why do we struggle with it?
I think the biggest enemy to surrender is pride. And pride looks different for everybody, right? Some of the pride is just based off of your upbringing, and maybe you've overcome so many of the things that should have defeated you, and so you have this pride about the way that you're doing things, and you've made it, you've done it all, and so now I'm asked to surrender and deny myself of the things that I've created for myself. You know, there's that mindset. And then there's just pride in ownership, and there's pride in authority, and there's all sorts of pride, right? And so I think that gets in the way, that hinders our ability to surrender at times, to surrender our image, the way people think of us, to surrender our status. You know, those are just different ways I think pride can hinder surrender.
Mm-hmm. I think today one of the reasons why it's so hard is because it's a recognition of neediness. And a lot of people today, especially in our culture, would be like, I've got all that I need. You know, I've got a family, I've got food, I've got money, I've got wealth, health, all these things. Like, I don't need one more thing. Like, I don't need that in my life. But until there's a recognition of individually each one of us as a sinner in desperate need of a savior, you know, and that's what we all need. And so I think until there's just this recognition of how needy we actually all still are, no matter what we have, we'll never be able to experience that. I was watching an interview a while ago, and this is an old interview, but it's one with Tom Brady, the not retired, but football player, who's talking about all the stuff he has, all the money, he's at that time, he had won already several championships, and just talking about all the stuff that he has. And he's like, it's funny though, because I still feel like empty. Like, I still feel like I'm missing out on something. And it's just one of those pictures of, here's this guy who probably has enough money for three lifetimes, and he's mm-hmm. still saying that there's something that's missing. There's a need that's not being met. And it's just like, I don't know. I just think that speaks so clearly to man. Like, what a good picture of all of us being needy.
Have you, I mean, to go along with that, because I've listened to that interview quite a bit, the interviewer goes, well, why do you think that is? And you remember his response?
I don't.
He uses the Lord's name in vain a little bit here, but it's so funny that he says it. He goes, God, I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is that I'm missing. And it's like, you just said it. Yeah. You even paused after you said it.
Wow.
So.
Huh. Well, I think it ties this whole idea of surrender to salvation ties to the first definition of what we talked about and that is like the cease of resistance. The cease of resistance against like our sin nature. We have to cease to live as we are. And that's why I think it's so difficult. It's fighting against our own nature. It's something that we need whether we realize it or not. And that's important.
Absolutely. So surrender to salvation, but also really the gist of it is after that point, it's surrender of one way to say it is lordship. Another way to say it is leadership. Who's in charge? Mm-hmm. Who's in control? And this is where it comes back to what you were saying earlier. It's the macro and the micro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we who's in charge of our life? Like we can get up and think we own our own schedule. Ha. I loved the Google Calendar when it came out, and it has this digital reminder system, and it kind of runs your life. It runs your family life, and you can color code it. I mean, it's just kind of a beautiful thing when you are an organizer. They're all laughing.
That's one way to describe a calendar.
But I mean, as far as it gets you where you're going, and then I'm sitting here going, wait, hold on. That's actually not what God's calling us to. He's calling us to a daily surrender to Him. And that means that when I get up, I'm praying, Lord, Holy Spirit, what do you have for me today? And when we pray that, we better be ready to see God do some things. And that kind of, it's scary to pray that. But that's the leadership that we're asking the Lord to do, is saying, what are you going to do with my day? Am I going to talk to the gal at the grocery line that is kind of got some tears in her eyes as she looks at her text? And I'm like, are you okay today? I mean, I love the grocery line. You guys, you go to the grocery store?
I do, and I try to go to the self-checkout lane as fast as I can.
I know.
In and out.
There are people. I know. I'm crazy. I'm crazy. But
yes.
But I do believe that those kind of encounters are so important, and that's what I'm saying is that are we going to be led by God in that Holy Spirit, you know, hovering that He says, "Hey, talk to that person." It's your time. Because you and I both know we've been at the coffee shop. Just happens to be that we have one in our town here, and most people know you when you walk in, and you're like, I just want to go in, get something to drink, and then I just want to leave because I got something to do or I have some place to go. But the Holy Spirit says, you need to have a conversation. And usually those conversations are pretty heavy. And that's what the leadership, like, I mean, I'm just saying it in definition to my calendar and how yes, it can rule our lives, but yet that's actually not the goal.
Yeah, I like what you're saying there about the idea of the grocery store, the coffee shop, because I think too many times in my life, I look at those moments more of interruptions or inconveniences and not opportunities. And I just need to have a better attitude and mindset towards that, because truly, I always try to flip it and say, man, if I was in that position, like, you know, when there's been several times where you see somebody on the side of the road and it's like, okay, if that was me, obviously I would want somebody just to check, just to see, you know, like, cause I'm sure there's going to be a time where that may be me and I need help or whatever. And it's easy just to be like, well, I would, but I'm running late or I got to get this or I got to do this. And so I think just to be able just to take a look, you know, inside and to be able to say like, okay, is this an attitude thing for me? Is this an opportunity, you know, that God has put before me?
And I know we talked about it in the last couple of weeks, and we talked about sacrifice and giving up. And I'm gonna even go here that sometimes I think surrendering our pocketbooks and surrendering that checkbook or that dollar or amount or whatever God's calling us to do in our life, sometimes feels more like our decision. But I say this, and it's kind of funny because I say God owns a cattle on a thousand hills, and Dan and I have cattle on our farm, you know. And I just say this is that God owns it. Like He's going to work His way. When we talk about Him coming into our leadership of our life, like it's not just what we do. It becomes who we are and how God expresses Himself through provision. Mm-hmm. And I just say that because I think we often think that succumbing to God's leadership, surrendering His leadership in our lives means doing something, but sometimes actually it means doing and allowing Him to do it.
Yeah. We talked about two things on Sunday morning as we were praying before Chris went out to preach a sermon. And those two stories of provision, like you were saying, Angie, were when the fishermen had more fish than their boat could handle, right? When Peter and Andrew and the other fishermen were there, right? And God provided in that moment. And then you have the other story where there's fish and loaves, right? And not much is there initially, but God takes a little bit and provides. Mm-hmm. And so I think both are so important to look at, right? They're both different ways that God provides for us. Sometimes he provides in an abundance right away, and other times he takes a little bit and just continues to multiply it. So,
mm-hmm. Angie, why don't we land the plane on this episode? In a note that you have here, you put a verse down from a song.
Yes.
Yes. Share that with us.
Well, as I was just thinking and preparing for talking about this surrender, the song that came to my mind was a hymn that we often sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And I love that song, but when we get to the third verse, I mean, I get wrecked about every time we sing it, because I'll just read it. It says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, oh, take and seal it with thy spirit from above. Rescued thus from sin and danger, purchased by the Savior's blood, may I walk on earth a stranger as a son and heir of God. That's powerful. I don't think you have to say much more than those words.
No, at the end of the day, just identifying the fact that we are prone to wander. We're prone to leave. And that's this idea of surrender. Surrendering mm-hmm. our lives is a surrender at salvation, but it's really a surrender that takes us deeper in our personal walk with Jesus, our spiritual walk with Jesus, mm-hmm. and is topic that really we should do the rest of our life, mm-hmm. put into practice. Mm-hmm. Friend, thanks for joining us today on this episode. We're glad that you are here, that you listen regularly. If we can ever help in any way, if you would like to reach out to us, email us here at walkemc.org. Give us a call at our church. We would love to help you on your journey, and hopefully these conversations are helpful to you. If you have any feedback, we would love to hear it. Until next time, we wish you all the grace and peace the Lord has for your life.